Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
My name is Ron, and I'm a workaholic. I am a habitual Sabbath breaker. I was raised in a blue-collar family. Working class family. When my dad died, my mother went back to work full time, and that was a something for a woman in the 1960s. My grandfather, who raised me, was a coal miner, except in the latter part of his life when he took it a little easy and worked in a steel mill. I had the examples of hard work all around me and was taught a powerful work ethic, and I am deeply grateful for that. I, though, have just failed often in my life to see the other side of the equation and rest. This equation that God has built, 6 days of work followed by 1 day of rest. Much of my life I've failed to really live into that and to experience that. And if this was an AA style meeting, I suspect that we could pass around the microphone and many of you would have a very similar story, a very similar witness. The only difference between this, though, and an AA meeting is that in a meeting where we would talk about our addictions to alcohol or drugs, there would be a basic understanding that that addiction is detrimental to our lives and destructive. Instead, when we talk about our workaholism, it's a badge of honor. And this is an imbalance in our culture that is deeply ingrained and deeply detrimental. Today we continue the series that we're calling Rhythms of Renewal. And we're looking at the realities of just the stress that people are under, the levels of anxiety and depression that seem to be just going up and through the roof, and trying to get a handle on this and seeing that God gives us answers through ancient rhythms, ancient practices. Last week, Brent talked about the practice of restoration and taking care of our bodies, and he shared for 30 minutes he was going to be a hypocrite. Well, for today, for 30 minutes, I'm going to be a hypocrite about this thing of rest. Because for much of my life, I disregarded the Sabbath. Now, I have always believed in and preached and talked about the importance of a day off, but they're really different things, as we'll see. And a day off is something different. And I've seen it in that context, but in recent times, in recent years, I've begun to see this Sabbath is something completely other than. Now, some of the problem we have as Christians is we take it lightly. Even though it is one of the Ten Commandments, we relegate it to a previous era, and we see the negative things that Jesus talked about, and we kind of write off the Sabbath, but we fail to understand that Jesus had to address the excesses and errors of his day, which he lived in a religious culture where the Sabbath was religiously practiced and legalistically so. And Jesus had to address the legalistic side. And so in Mark's gospel, very early on, as he was criticized for doing a healing, it got to the point where you couldn't even do good on the Sabbath, Jesus responds and says this: the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus is saying this day was made for you, for you. It was made to be a blessing from God. For you. And as we saw in Isaiah 58, just read these words again. Let them soak in from the message. If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor Jacob. Yes, God says so. The point I want to make is that Sabbath is a life-giving day of worship and delight, rest. So I want to talk about this rhythm of rest that we know in our scriptures as Sabbath. And I want to make 3 points in particular about the Sabbath. First, is it is literally a day to stop. The word in Hebrew, Shabbat, means literally stop. Stop doing. Stop working. Stop buying and selling. Stop worrying and fretting. Come to a halt. Stop. And as I've already mentioned, it's in the Ten Commandments. It's one of the ten, and you find the Ten Commandments in one form in Exodus chapter 20. And this is the only one of the Ten Commandments that God gives the why behind the command. None of the others. There's no why behind you shall not murder, commit adultery, and not steal. Maybe that's self-explanatory. But this one, listen. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. And here comes the why. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So God rests on the Sabbath. We'll explain kind of what that means in a moment. But here we are told to remember it. We human beings are so terribly forgetful. And I think in every era of church history, there is something that the church forgets. 600 years ago, we forgot salvation by grace through faith alone. And so Martin Luther and other reformers came along and reminded us of this beautiful thing called grace. Today, I think it would be a fair thing to say that we have largely forgotten this very thing we're told not to forget, the very thing we're told to remember, and that's Sabbath. And so for many of us, this is kind of a new teaching. It's not new, though. It's just new to us and how to practice it and how to live into it. I'm enjoying a book now. And the good thing is there's been a lot written in recent years about Sabbath. A.J. Swoboda, who is a pastor and seminary professor, wrote a book called A Subversive Sabbath. And in here he says this. He says, he makes the point that many Christians today, many devoted followers of Christ, love God deeply. He says, we just don't know how to sit with God anymore. And he says a word here especially directed to those in my profession, because he's one too. He says, because we pastors rarely practice Sabbath, we rarely preach Sabbath. And because we don't preach Sabbath, our congregations are not challenged to take it seriously themselves. The result of our Sabbath amnesia is that we have become perhaps the most emotionally exhausted, psychologically overworked, spiritually malnourished people in history. Emotionally exhausted, psychologically overworked, spiritually malnourished. That seems to describe our day. See, because not only has this been something we've forgotten, but we live in a world that is 24/7. Our ancestors used to at least have the blue laws that kept you kind of chilled out, and one day the stores weren't open. Now you can go all through the day to stores, to the internet, you name it, and it's just never shut down. And we've forgotten. But Sabbath means stop. Stop. Because this is what God did. In fact, it's written into the very DNA. It's written into the very fabric of our universe. Somebody once said, if you go against the grain of the universe, you get splinters. And we've gotten a lot of splinters. There's been a lot of detrimental impact upon us because we have gone against the very grain of creation and not stopping. So Sabbath is first and foremost a day to stop. But it's more than that. It's a blessed day. Now, we go back to Genesis 1 and we see that God rested on this day. That it says in verse 31, which is the last verse of chapter 1, says here, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was a morning, the sixth day. In chapter 2, it says, but by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Why did God stop and rest on the seventh day? Because he was tired? No. The God of who created the heavens and the earth, Almighty God, doesn't get tired. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, Isaiah says. What does it do? Well, here's where we're fascinating. We get to the alternative meaning of Shabbat. Shabbat means stop. You know what it also means? It means to delight. Shabbat is a command to delight. So what does God do on the seventh day? He creates all of the magnificent world and order of creation that we see all around us, the universe, the earth, the plants, the trees, the animals, and human beings, and he sits back and enjoys it. This is what it's getting at in Isaiah 58, verse 14. He says, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumphs on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. There's this delight that comes. And God just simply takes it all in and enjoys it. And so Shabbat, Sabbath, is to delight, to enjoy. In July, our family went on a family vacation. We all got to go together. We went to Florida, and the beach is one of our favorite places to go, and we went to Florida. And one of my favorite activities is when we're at the beach is to go out in the evening a couple hours before sunset and just to watch the ocean. I don't do anything. I don't even take anything to read. I just sit there and let the wind and the waves, the sounds and the sights and everything just fill my soul with utter delight. We forget that, especially as we get older. Our Father is younger than we, and he does not, he's not forgotten what it is to delight in something and to take great joy in something. We've had my oldest son and daughter-in-law and their two kids living with us the past couple months as they get ready to transition to St. Louis to start a church. And so we've got a three-year-old and one-year-old living with us. And when you have a one-year-old, you begin, with little kids like that, you get a picture into delight. My one-year-old, our one-year-old Emmy, she gets great delight out of giving treats to our dog. I have a golden retriever who's like three times her size. And she goes up, I said, you want to give Toby a cookie, we call it. And she gives it to him, and she just squeals with delight when he takes it out of her hand. Just the whole thing just brings her great delight. And then some days when I come home, she squeals with delight. That hasn't happened a lot in my household, you know, but she does. Just the sheer delight of seeing Grandpa or giving that cookie. And it's just, that's what, and I could picture what God is doing on this day. John Mark Comer, who has written a lot and talked a lot about Sabbath, and I appreciate him resurrecting this for us today. In his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which I highly recommend, and his chapter on Sabbath is worth the whole price of the book. And he says in there, if you're new to the Sabbath, a question to give shape to your practice is this. What could I do for 24 hours that would fill my soul with a deep throbbing joy, that would make me spontaneously combust with wonder, awe, gratitude, and praise? And in the chapter, he talks about how his family begins, how they enjoy Sabbath, and they begin Sabbath by having their Sabbath cookie, which is this big, just absolutely calorie-filled, laden chocolate cookie, and then they just pile on vanilla ice cream. Why? Because it gives them delight and they eat it. And reading his chapter is like, oh my gosh, I want some of that. In the chapter, he quotes Dan Allender, who's a seminary president, in his book on Sabbath, and he says this. He says, the Sabbath is an invitation to enter delight. The Sabbath, when experienced as God intended, is the best day of our lives. Without question or thought, is the best day of the week. It is the day we anticipate on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the day we remember on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Sabbath is the holy time where we feast, play, dance, make love, sing, pray, laugh, tell stories, read, paint, walk, and watch creation in its fullness. Few people are willing to enter the Sabbath and sanctify it to make it holy, because a full day of delight and joy is more than most people can bear in a lifetime, let alone in a week. God wants us to have this day where it is filled with the things that we enjoy doing that bring us joy. And it is life-giving. I want you to see something. There's all these hidden jewels in Genesis 1 and 2. And there's only three things that God blesses in creation. Listen to this. Genesis 1, 22. God blessed them, the animals, and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. So he blessed the animal kingdom. And then it gets down to verse 28. And God makes human beings in his image and says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And so God blesses the animals and human beings. And this blessing is that they now have this powerful ability to procreate, to create, to bring life into existence. And then, look at this. And then God does this, Genesis 2, verse 2. Seventh day, God finished all the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. God blessed. It's the only thing he blesses besides human beings and animals. And what that is saying is that this day gives life. It is a life-giving day. When we practice Sabbath, it imparts life to us. I find it interesting that one Christian denomination that takes Sabbath very seriously is a Seventh-day Adventist. You may be familiar, may know a Seventh-day Adventist. They take it so seriously, in fact, that they have worship on Saturday because that was the ancient Sabbath day. Something very interesting about Seventh-day Adventists. Do you know that on average they live about 10 years longer than the typical American? Here's another fun fact. If you were to take one day out of seven from the time you were born and Sabbath, stop, and delight, rest, and you do that for your lifetime, by the time you're 70, you know how much time that equals? About 10 years. Kind of interesting, huh? Sabbath will extend your life. Sabbath gives life. Whether it results in a longer life, you know, whatever God's plan is for us, it's a life-giving source. So it's a blessed day. And thirdly, it's a holy day. Now, everything I've said is true, but the big thing that makes this day a special day is that it is a God-focused day. It is a holy day. Now, it does fit in theme. You know what the word holiday is. We had a holiday recently, Labor Day, right? Next big holiday, I guess, is Thanksgiving. And we know all about holidays and preparing for those and marking those days. Do you know where the word holiday comes from? It comes from two words, holy day. A holiday is a holy day. It's a day set apart. Do you know God intends for you to have 52 holidays a year? It's called Sabbath. Holy day. This is a day where we encounter God. And so that's where we have to learn to distinguish. And this is where the mistake I made for much of my life. All right, I'll just be openly, just honest with you. This is where I made my misunderstanding around Sabbath is that I've seen it, equated it to the day off. Eugene Peterson, whose translation, The Message, the late Eugene Peterson that we used for this message, says that that a day off is the illegitimate child of Sabbath. He doesn't use the word illegitimate child. He uses the other word that I can't use because there are kids present today, okay? But he makes the very strong point that a day off is not Sabbath. A day off is a day to get your errands done, run around, do that, pay your bills, you know, get the projects done at the house. That's all great. I don't know about you, but cleaning the house, doing bills does not bring delight to my soul. It's got to be done. Got it? Okay. Day off is not Sabbath. Sabbath is a day to stop, a day to delight. If it brings you delight, do it. Like, I love working in my garden. I hate pulling weeds. So on Sabbath, I plant stuff, but I don't pull weeds. And I was talking earlier, we were talking with a few folks, and my wife says, well, you can tell by looking in his garden that he doesn't like pulling weeds. Yeah, thanks, Linda. Anyway, it's true. So what brings you delight? Do that. If it doesn't bring you delight on Sabbath, don't do it. The day off is for that. That's what you do on that day. You take that time and you give it to that. And it's a day to worship. As you heard Dana explain, for her family, it involves worship. And it doesn't have to be a particular day. For me, I work weekends. And so I started doing Sabbath for Thursday night sundown to Friday night sundown. Whatever day that works for you, but it's worship. It's a time to sleep in. It's a time to get up and read the scriptures, get that cup of coffee, get that cup of tea, and just spend time with God. We generally don't know how to sit still and sit with God, but Sabbath is a day to do that. And to take a long walk, however it is you can hear and get your mind clear to hear from God, do that. And be God-focused and God-centered on this day. Well, as I said, my confession is I have not kept Sabbath the way God intended to for much of my life. I'm very pleased, though, that my oldest son, Anthony, and his wife, Kylie, have given this a real priority in their lives. You heard from Dana. I wanted them, Anthony and Kylie, to come and share with you because I've witnessed them and observed how they have Sabbathed over the years and wanted you to hear a little bit of their story. So would you welcome my son and daughter-in-law to the stage?
That sounded like we're actually doing something good, but I just want to say that we have failed miserably at this for 2 years, and then we still fail, so that's just a caveat. You have to know that. But we too, Dana is awesome, and she made it sound so pretty. We follow the same pattern of worship, rest, and delight as well. And so that's what we filter our whole day through, and we just ask the question, is this worship? Is this something I delight in, or is it something I find rest in? So you want to explain what we do?
Yeah, so like Ron said, we have two really young kids, and so something that we have learned is that if we're going to do Sabbath well on Sunday, then we have to prepare. So that means the way we live our other six days looks very different. So we get our errands done on Saturday. We cook I usually cook extra food on Saturday because I don't want to cook on Sunday, and so we do that. We just make sure we get that stuff done so that we can start. And then we do our Sabbath from Saturday night until Sunday night. And usually a way that we start is we have a big meal. We make some fun food. We like to eat Indian food or pizza or something like that. And we'll eat something fun. And then the next morning we and we always light a Sabbath candle. It's just a way that we signify that this is the start of our Sabbath. And so we do that. On Sunday mornings, we had a house church in Kentucky that met every other week, and so we either met in fellowship with people in the morning, or we kind of just worshiped on our own with our kids at home when it was the off week. So we would read scripture, we would pray, we would sing together, and then the rest of the day just looked like Anthony said, what is fun, what is rest for us. That's usually being outside, going on walks. I like to nap. Anthony doesn't like to nap. He roasts coffee. Sometimes I'll cook if I feel like doing something fun. But it's just whatever we think is fun and restful. Some things that we don't do, which I think is probably as important as what we do do, is we turn off our phones on Saturday night. We keep it on Do Not Disturb in case there's an emergency, but we turn that off so we're not looking at social media, we're not scrolling, we're not engaged in that kind of stuff. We also, I personally have learned, no shopping, no researching, no trying to provide for my family. Those are burdens that weigh on me throughout the week, is do I have things I need for my kids? Do I have school supplies? Do I have whatever? And I just don't even think about that on Sunday. I feel like I'm forgetting something.
Sounds good.
That's basically what we do. We end it Sunday night so then we can get ready for the week that night after dinner. So
something that came to my mind when I was thinking about this, you know, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary, carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And if I'm being honest, you know, we can read those passages a lot and be like, sure, yeah, that's true. But how do you actually do it? And something in that passage, he actually says, let me teach you. And if I'm being honest, Sabbath for a lot of time has been, I hated it. Because certain things started being revealed to me. I had to have my phone by me. Well, why did I have to have my phone by me? I constantly needed to be distracted by something or listen to this, or I was on my, you know, phone or watching TV. And so the thing that Sabbath has done for me, at least, is help me reorient my life around Jesus and to take seriously and let him teach me what it looks like to find rest. And for me, the biggest thing is handing him control of that. And I have noticed for myself is that Sabbath has been an incredible way for me to be more present the rest of the week, to be more attentive to what Jesus is doing in everyday life. And I think the Sabbath has really helped both of us do that. If you have something else.
Yeah, for me too, it's just a way of letting God be God for one day, like actually letting God be God and Kylie not be God. And I've noticed throughout the week that I am more able to be aware of what he's doing in my day-to-day life, that I can hear his voice better because I'm not so caught up in being productive all the time and what I have to accomplish, what I have to get done, that I actually can see what he's doing because I've taken that time to learn how to slow down. So we've learned a lot through it. It's really blessed us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so proud of them, and they're leaning into this, and they've taught me. Like I said, for much of my life, I just equated it with a day off, and, you know, being good at taking a day off, and I've talked about that over the years, but it's not until recent years that I've seen that Sabbath is something completely different. I thank Brett for this. I thank authors that I don't know, like John Mark Comer, A.J. Swoboda, and others. And then my own son and daughter-in-law in showing me what Sabbath is. And so about 2 months ago, I started practicing it. So I'm really new. I mean, yeah, I've taken days off. I've done self-care, blah, blah, blah. But Sabbath. And now I'm finding, for me, it's sundown on Thursday to sundown on Friday. First, that very rhythm, which is the ancient Jewish rhythm, the day began at sundown, is a powerful teaching tool in my life. Why? Because Sabbath begins at sundown, 7:30-ish now, and then a couple hours later, I go to bed. I go to sleep. And for somebody who tends to think that the world just can't operate without him and that I'm in control and the world really needs me and I'm indispensable, I go to sleep just a couple hours after this day begins, and it's God saying, I got it. The world's going to be okay when you're sleeping. This is how your day begins. One person said this, that people who keep Sabbath live all 7 days differently. And you heard Dana and Anthony and Kylie say that, in essence, the same thing. I find now that it is beginning to affect my rhythm and my routine throughout the other days. And I also find that on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday when, you know, it's kind of, work can be a grind at times and I'm going through a hard thing and I say, ah, oh, but Sabbath is coming. I'm already beginning to find how that is. And so I want to encourage you to lean into this practice. We are the ones who suffer when we are constantly on, when we're constantly connected to that phone, when we cannot stop, when we cannot stop. You know what they call someone who works 7 days a week who cannot stop? Workaholic. No, they call him a slave. God's people for 400 years were slaves in Egypt. And when he brought them out of that, he said, I'm going to give you this gift. And that is, one day, out of your seven, you stop everything. You stop. You don't need to worry about making bricks and making them bigger and stronger and all that kind of stuff like you had to do in Egypt. You take this day, and I'm going to give it to you as a gift, and it's going to give you life. And you remember me, and you focus on me, and you rest, and you do the things that bring your soul delight. God doesn't want us to be slaves. He wants us to be children. Now, I know for some of you, the enemy is already whispering in your ear, that sounds great for them, but you can't do this. No, you can. Give God a chance. Lean into this. Get some folks to help you and to hold you accountable and do this together. In fact, we're going to be starting a Facebook group, a private group off of our LaCroix page for anybody who wants to learn more about this. Talk about it, dialogue. I'll be on there dialoguing with folks, sharing ideas, struggles, and delights. And maybe for you, that would be something that will help jumpstart this. But God wants this to be a gift to you. I want to Sabbath. And I want to invite you along if that is not your practice now. Because Sabbath, it's a day to stop. It's a day to rest. It's a day to delight. It's a day to worship. Let's pray. Father, may this day bring Sabbath rest to my heart and my home. May your image in me be restored and my imagination in you be restored. May the gravity of material things be lightened and the relativity of time slow down. May I know grace to embrace my own finite smallness in the arms of your infinite greatness. May your word feed me and your spirit lead me into the week that is to come and the life that is to come. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. If you are new to LaCroix and you want to find out more about the church, we have this gathering called What's Next. It's a brief gathering. It'll meet out here in the lobby where you see next steps, and you're invited to come to that. This weekend, Shipyard, looking forward to that festival. And again, if you want to lean into this practice of Sabbath, I invite you to join this Facebook group, and we'll dialogue a little bit about it so that we can discover the gift that God wants to give us. So now as you go, may you go to work the 6 days in front of you. May you work hard and find joy and delight in your work. And then may you rest. May you stop. May you delight. May you worship. May you discover God's good gifts, including this wonderful gift of this day, this Sabbath day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.